This upcoming concert season will be all about the boots, and Tecovas is your stop for the best in Western style. Tecovas has seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring and summer, including men's and women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition with timeless styles that are always on trend. And Tecovas has first wear comfort with little to no break-in period. It's hard to find this level of comfort paired with this level of style. Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink or two, that's WCB style, and shop new styles. The smell of fresh leather and friendly staff are at your service. Many stores even have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. And with regular live music and events, there's no in-store experience like it. If you can't make it into a store, just visit tecovas.com. That's T-E-C-O-V-A-S.com. They offer free shipping on all boots, as well as free returns and exchanges, and ship right to your door. Go to tecovas.com and find your new favorite pair of boots today.
Fishing like a local isn't just about catching fish. It's about connecting with the environment and the people who call it home. It's about hearing the stories and traditions that have been passed down for generations and sharing unforgettable moments with the people you meet along the way. Fishing like a local is having an experience that stays with you forever. And with Fishing Booker, you can experience it too, no matter where you are. Discover your next adventure on Fishing Booker.
Hey guys, welcome to episode 310. We're going to get to that here in a few minutes, but just need to get some business out of the way. This is the Working Class Bowhunter Podcast.
No, start over. I want more excitement. That was lame. Come on, try again.
Okay. Here we go. Hold on.
This isn't a job, Steve. This is literally a lifestyle. It's a lifestyle.
Sorry, guys. Sorry, man. I'm wearing shorts. I'm very relaxed.
Why are you wearing shorts?
Hey now.
Chug that beer right now.
All right, hold on.
Not the Miller Lite. What are you, 40?
What?
Crack this Busch Light right here.
You may crack this Busch Light right here. It's warm.
Drink it.
Oh, dude, I can smell the yeast.
We're all drinking it.
It is so warm, the yeast baked inside this beer. It's bread in here.
That's your crotch, bro. Hurry up.
I'm drinking liquid bread.
You deserve this.
It's disgusting.
Oh, my God.
I should probably cut this out of the podcast, but I'm not going to. I'm sticking to our guns. Wow, that was impressive.
God. Smokes.
Good work. Are you okay?
All right, this is...
Steve, I'm not kidding. Steve really just chugged a whole beer.
Dude, that beer is a week old.
Sorry, we killed a minute already. So if you've tuned out, I apologize. But tune back in. It's a Working Class Bowhunter Podcast presented by Scent Crusher, scentcrusher.com. Man, if it wasn't for Scent Crusher, we wouldn't have Steve on the podcast because he does kill Scent Crusher does kill his scent and all of ours for hunting season. Also brought to you by HHA Sports. Now use code WCB15 at HHASports.com. Save yourself some money. And they're also sponsoring our Carbon TV series,
which just launched.
Just launched this week. And also, I want to apologize for this airing later than normal. We have internet issues in little small town Sherrard, Illinois. And what are you going to do? But yeah, check out our Carbon TV series and HHA. Podcast is also brought to you by North American Whitetail Championship. You can use code WCB25 to enter that championship. You get a huge package full of stuff, including a Tacticam. That's a major part in that competition. And you can go to the championship to win $50,000.
Exactly. So kill the deer you were going to kill anyway.
Yep.
And you could potentially win money.
Film it.
And
prizes and hunts and all that stuff.
And if you're in our area and you win, you might be able to do a podcast with us.
Oh.
It's happened before, has it not?
It's happened twice now.
Anything can happen.
Anything is possible.
Anything.
The podcast is also brought to you by Lone Wolf Custom Gear, and that is lonewolfcustomgear.com. For all you guys that pre-ordered, I know sticks are shipping out, stands are shipping soon. A lot of big things planned with Lone Wolf Custom Gear. It's going to be a game changer.
Hey, I got to ask. You're friends with him. Does Cody hate me?
Yeah, he does.
Okay.
OneWolfCustomGear.com. The podcast is also brought to you by Elite Archery. We're all shooting the Ritual 35s and the Ritual 30. Amazing stuff. The shoot is from time when we record. It's a month away from the time of this
exactly
recording.
Yes, exactly a month away. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, we ordered the targets last week. We have some amazing sponsors that sponsored the targets that helped us get good quality targets. Shooters, big shout out to Shooters Archery, the McDaniels. They're going to be at the shoot. Cody DeQuisto will be at the shoot. There might be a full-blown Lone Wolf custom gear giveaway at the shoot. The Big Ten's going to be there. Lots of Big Ten stuff being given away. Hunter's Blend Coffee is going to be there.
For the ladies, we're setting up a Steve kissing booth, right?
Yeah, yeah. Yep.
That's
yeah.
if you miss the target.
20, yeah, yeah. Dude, if you lose an arrow, I got to get a kiss right on the lips.
Oh, wow.
I don't have any lips, but the ladies do. So if you miss an arrow, ladies, you better start practicing right now.
There's going to be Kristen McDaniel will be there, and she's not missing. And then if she does miss, then you have to deal with Josh. So,
yeah, he's going to give me a pal right in the kisser. That dude, I don't want to mess with that dude. Josh McDaniel is a beast.
Right?
Well, Kristen ain't going to miss, so I'm not even counting on that
yeah,
one.
Yeah, that's a good point.
It's a good shot. But hopefully there's some of them Instagram huntresses that are not good shots, you know.
Yeah, dude, I'm pretty sure they're all mad at us. So I don't think any of them will be there.
Yeah, way to go, Kurt, talking shit on Instagram.
Love her for likes. What is that fucking shit?
This is bullshit. Oh, hey, Mitch.
They just signed up without you knowing, and they're there.
Dude, he was so caught.
They're filming for the show.
We figured we'd do it here. It's your thing, right?
Dude, I was so glad that dude came on, and he was like, hey, yeah, I got to come awesome. Defend it. Dude, that was the shit, dude. I got so much respect for that dude. And
yeah, he was awesome.
Doing, so
we got some good feedback from that. They're like, man, it's pretty cool, like, you guys like still voice your opinion from the program to the program of Outdoor Channel that you think that show's bullshit.
Dude, he's such a cool dude.
He was cool. He was really cool. But that show is bullshit.
yes it is.
If you want coffee, I brought it up. Use code working class for 10% off huntersblendcoffee.com. It's delicious. It's a really amazing coffee. What else? Combination Creative. They are producing the Carbon TV series. Check it out. First episode, Rutt Daniels, the legend.
The legend himself.
Mm-hmm.
Kurt, do you gotta say, dude, you had really pretty eyes on that episode. Jordan
fluffed you up
a
little bit.
Did it good for you.
It was the ring lighting.
It was. Dude, that ring lighting is awesome. It's always cool when you're talking to people, you get to see it like that ring. Dude, it's awesome.
By the way, if you go watch this episode, it's only like a 6-7 minute episode, but it's like a interview. I mean, you can tell. I think you can tell it's full blown off the top of our heads because you and I at first, Steve, we kind of like we stuttered a little bit, and then even Bud stuttered when he's like, "Working class Bohana, big fans of mine," and they started to laugh.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And you know what's funny is like I was like thinking about I did what every amateur interviewer does. I wasn't thinking about what he was saying because we were freestyling so hard. And it was like the first video one we did of that, like the show.
Uh-huh.
I was thinking about what I was going to ask him next without listening to his answer. And he said, big fans of mine. And I missed his joke.
No, I heard. I was just like playing along. Like,
I thought we were doing a thing where we weren't going to laugh. That's luckily someone broke the seal, so I was like, oh, we're good.
I got to a point where I was just trying to get him to pop. But yeah. Dude,
Steve's like, you know, we're honored to have you here. Can I just have one strand of hair?
Dude, Rutt Daniels is on it.
No, that's a little bit creepy. I'll do it for you.
Yeah, it's like, I'll do it for
you. Did you ever get that
strand
of hair?
I had to take it.
Oh.
Cornered into the bathroom, but that's not on video. Well, it's on security camera footage, but the cops have that. So.
It was a head hair, right?
Yeah, most likely. Probably.
Hopefully. Allegedly.
I think so.
Yeah, so that's going to be fun. We have some good episodes coming down the pipe on Carbon. We're going to launch one. Not actually an episode, but a video that'll be on our Carbon series. The week after, there'll be another good podcast with Drury, with Matt and Terry, and then some other big ones coming down the run.
Ooh.
On that. So check it out. Give us a rating. Give us a 10-star rating or whatever.
Yeah.
Give us a good Carbon score. We got a pretty decent one now. It just needs to be better.
It needs to be 10. I don't know what you guys are thinking. It needs to be 10.
Why are we not 10?
I mean, like, you
dude,
know,
we're
I,
like a 7.
We are. We're a 7.
We're a C.
I mean, a 7 is swipeable on Tinder.
I mean,
but,
I know we're like 7 looking, but like.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Come on. Just feel bad for us and give us a 10.
Yeah, why not? Why wouldn't you? It's like going to take no more time out of your day than it would for you to check your bank account and be like, I ain't got no money, so I guess I'm going to hit McDonald's again. Same amount of time. Just go to Carbon TV and just be
less
like, yo, 10. Less time, dude. Plus, you get to feel better about yourself. So there you go.
We need to get to this episode.
If we do. Let's get into it right now. How's that sound? Work class. Work class. Working class. It is episode number 310 of the Working Class Bowhunter Podcast. We are right here at 1600 Buckslayer Place. Beautiful Buckatorium. Lovely Sherrard, Illinois. I am Steve. In the studio today is Kurt.
Hello.
He lives here. Tank Intern Tank.
How's it going?
And man, what a fine porn stash on Porn Stash Doug. How you doing?
Howdy.
Doing good. Dude, you just killed the mood.
That's my bad.
Lord. Thank God, man. Hey, it's a beautiful sunny day. The corn's actually finally starting to grow around here. So
knee high by the 4th of July.
Bro, you know what that means?
Gonna happen.
No.
It's only like, you know, crock high by the 4th of July. And that means we're going to have a late rut, I think, this year. Go to hell.
God.
Don't say that.
Just saying, dude. That corn's growing late, dude. We're having
a late Steve,
rut.
You want to introduce our guest?
I do want to introduce our guest. As a matter of fact, he's been waiting patiently on the phone. We've got Greg from Accessible Hunter. Greg, how you doing?
I'm doing great, guys. Thanks so much for having me.
Yeah.
Thanks for coming on the show, man. I have a feeling that you're going to hang up after this podcast and probably never listen to us again.
No way, man. You guys are awesome.
We appreciate that. Dude, I'm glad he waited on the phone that whole time.
We didn't make him sit through the whole entire intro, just so everyone's aware. You want to fire out? I figure we'll just start it right out the gate with the veteran shout-out.
Yeah, we're going to go ahead and do that. And so this vet that I'm going to shout out this week, it's awesome to us because we love shouting out our vets. However, Greg sent this one over, so I'm going to read what he sent. This is the vet is Major, and he's retired, Ricky Mills. Ricky Mills is a retired Special Forces Major. He was hit by a vehicle riding his bike in Germany while training for the Ironman Marathon.
Wow.
After his injury, he continued to dedicate his life to others and starting Wild Jaeger, a group of men and women who hunt all over the world, teaching ethical habits and advocating hunting and everything else outdoor that the outdoors has to offer. So he's got a website, wildjaeger.com. He's also on Facebook and Instagram. So, not only Ricky, thank you for your service to this country. We appreciate it dearly, but thank you, Ricky. Thank you for everything that you do for the hunting community, because
he's giving back.
He's giving back in any way he can. So we appreciate that. Greg, thank you for sending that in. And for that, I think I'm going to chug another beer to that. How does that sound?
That's perfect.
To Ricky. He's perfect. Still alive, but, you know.
I'll crack it.
Thank you for your service.
I was going to drink one anyway, but I'll definitely dedicate this one to you, sir. Thank you for your service. Well, thanks for sending that in, Greg. That's awesome, man.
Ricky's a great guy, and I've hunted with him a number of years. You know, we traveled around together, and he's a lot of fun to go out with. He'd fit right in with you boys, drinking and hunting and raising hell. So,
well, send him our way. Let's get him on.
Oh, man. I'll pass that along to Ricky. He'd love that, and you guys would love him. He's an awesome guy.
Make sure he listens first before we do all that, because he might be like, I don't want to do that.
Like, no, I was about to say, call him right now. What's he doing?
not a whole lot scares Ricky.
So. That's awesome. So, Greg, tell us about you and Accessible Hunter, man. Like, what all piled this in? Because I don't know. It wasn't too long ago you were messaging us and just an awesome supporter of what we're doing, and we just really appreciate it. And we kind of got the chit-chat, and it's like, hey, let's schedule a podcast. So I'm kind of interested in hearing your backstory and how you got to where you are today, and let's hear about it.
Sure. Well, I'm 51 years old, and I've been hunting since I was 12. You know, I'm a Pennsylvania small-town kind of guy. And everybody hunts at 12 in Pennsylvania. Mm-hmm. So
whether you want to or not, right?
Whether you want to or not, schools are closed. You have to go. It's definitely a rule. But my dad took me hunting, and I appreciate that. I mean, I love hunting and getting a good start, and I think it's awesome for young kids. But I've been hunting since I was 12, and I started bow hunting whenever I was 16 with some friends that were really super into bow hunting and taught me a lot, and I learned a lot, and I continue to hunt just like everybody else, you know, in tree stands and hunting all over Pennsylvania and trying to get better and you know, refine the craft of bow hunting. And my injury happened. I was actually 31, and I was living in Cape Cod, Massachusetts. I was up there for work, and I had a diving accident, and I broke my neck at the C4-5 level, which basically I'm just paralyzed from the chest down. Like, I lose feeling above my nipples. If you draw a line across my chest, that's where I feel is like above my nipples. Below my nipples, I don't. I've got some arm movement, but I can't feel my arms and I can't feel my hands.
Wow, man.
Jeez. So, Losers. Yeah, it's kind of weird. But I've been a quad for 20 years now, but, you know, you adapt to things, and I've had a great support system. Starting off with my injury, I mean, the paramedics and everybody laid flight at me from Cape Cod up to Boston to Brigham and Women's Hospital. And I was basically in a induced coma for a month up there. And they kind of got me stabilized. I was on a ventilator and I had pneumonia the whole time I was there.
Wow. Jeez.
Yeah, it was, I don't remember it. Fortunately, they give you so many drugs that, you know, you kind of forget that. But yeah. my family did some research and they found out that Shepherd Center in Atlanta, Georgia had a really good spinal cord injury hospital. So they made arrangements and flew me down to Atlanta, and I was still on a vent, and they ambulance met us at the airport and got me into the hospital, and they were suctioning me and stuff like that because I couldn't breathe, and it was pretty touch and go there at the beginning. But slowly and surely, like a week went by and they got me stable and I was still on a vent, but they had therapeutic recreational people come to the room and they were like, you know, you're a young guy, 31, what's your background? What do you like to do? And I was like, well, you know, I hunt, I fish, I skydive, I rode motorcycles. You know, I went through the whole list of stuff I used to do. Mm-hmm. And they said, well, there's no reason why you can't go shooting and hunting again. And I don't know if I was ready to hear it at the time or not, but when they took me down to the gym and kind of showed me other people in wheelchairs, you know, shooting and not only shooting, but shooting well, I thought, you know, maybe I can do this. And that thought stayed with me. I wasn't strong enough for a number of years to actually act on it. But that being exposed to it, that put that idea in my head that, you know, maybe I can still do this at a later time.
Whew. Wow, man. You know, and that hits home to us because, you know, we're all pretty close to that age. I'm 29 myself. You know, most everybody here is that age. So I can't imagine, you know, being at this point in my life and having something like that happen. But, you know, it's good to hear that even in this point, such as yourself, you had this happen and now you're overcoming and you've created something that's good for a lot of people. It's just, it's hitting mm-hmm. home, and it's cool to hear you say that, you know, we're going to get into more of that, what you're
right. Well, the big thing is like you maintained a positive attitude. Yeah. I imagine maybe it wasn't, I mean, maybe it was at first, but I can imagine it'd be hard to like maintain it, but it's just crazy, man. It's crazy to think about.
You know, you guys are all strong guys, and you're successful at what you do for a reason. And I was kind of like type A personality and, you know, did a lot of different things. I was really physically active, and that's probably what saved my life with being in such good shape even in my 30s. And you work with what you got. And at first, I mean, naturally, I was devastated. I went through, you know, depression, and it took me a long time just to be able to move my arms. I mean, that was a huge deal just to be able to feed myself, let alone do anything else, you know, and not having the use of the hands. I think that's harder than anything else. You know, I have a power wheelchair and stuff that gets me around. Sometimes just not being able to use my hands is probably the hardest. But people have all different levels of injury, and you and I could be the same level of an injury, C4 or 5, and you might be able to feel something, or you might be able to use your, you know, wrist better than me. So no two people are kind of alike. And I know medically everything's gotten a lot better in the last 20 years too, that, you know, they do a little bit better job getting people back to the highest function that they can right away.
Yeah, man, it's crazy, but it's kind of neat that one thing, like they kind of showed you, like people are still shooting and hunting and doing that. And you kind of like kept that in mind the whole time. Is that like obviously the outdoors were a thing that were a major part of your life since you were 12. Would you say that's the number one thing that like kept you motivated through all this, is to get back to that point to enjoy what you enjoyed before?
You know, that's exactly right. That it was kind of a motivating factor that, you know, someday I'm going to be able to get back to it. You know, I got to take small steps. And I'm going to get there first. I had to get healthy and get a little bit stronger. And this is like years, guys. I mean, I didn't hunt for 10 years. But in that 10 years, I went back to school. I got my master's in rehabilitation counseling and assistive technology. I, you know, took different classes, learned how to do things differently. And that kind of put me on the road to, well, there's got to be a better way to be able to do this. I've got to have some kind of technology. At the time I was at Shepherd, they showed me some computer technology. It was Multimedia Max that controlled your home. If you wanted your lights on, you could ask Max to turn them on and stuff. You know, you could make phone calls through the computer and stuff. That was all cutting edge in 1999. Now I control my house by Alexa.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's crazy. $99 thing. I mean, it works better than Max ever did.
And now the government's listening. So there you go. That's you got the government subsidy. That's why Alexa's so cheap.
Hey, Alexa, play Working Class Bowhunter podcast.
She's probably hearing you. It might kick on it. Well, your internet's down right now, so it ain't happening.
Yeah. Sam's upstairs.
Dude, I'm on so many lists because of you guys, I'm sure, you know, government watch list.
The hell is he listening to?
Dude, I'm never going to be able to run for political office. We've already established that.
We're fucked.
Yeah, dude. If we ever get any, like, level of fame or whatever and the shit starts coming out with all the... Yeah, we're done.
No, yeah.
Sorry, dude. Guys. I sunk us.
Dude, it's like, you know how some celebrities sink their career with, like, a tweet from 10 years ago? They're just like, dude, there's 400 episodes of these dudes saying shit that'll sink anybody's career.
I'll be right there with you guys, so you won't be lonely.
You'll be our spokesperson. Can you bear a lawyer? we're gonna need some of that sympathy. They're like, all right, yeah, these guys are all right. We're all right, dudes.
We'll play the wheelchair card, you know.
That's what I'm saying, man. That's what I'm saying. You got it, brother.
Greg's got our back.
Damn. All right, so Greg, you went 10 years, and in that time that you mentioned, you got your master's. And maybe
that's pretty inspiring, man.
Yeah,
actually,
dude, I don't want to jump too far, but there is a question I thought of because our good friend TJ went through not a similar. I mean, it's kind of similar,
not go into detail.
but not the same. But the question I wanted to ask you is how. Oh shit!
No, it's all good. I just my do not disturb is not working on my phone because I don't know why. We're good. Sorry, guys.
What I want to ask is. You know, and you can get into that more. Maybe I'm jumping the gun, but how was that after 10 years of you just working, grinding to get out there to just kill your first critter? What was that feeling like?
It was better than anything you can imagine. I mean, if you're a hunter and you kill your first deer when you're young, you know how excited you get and you're shaking. And I mean, it's like the greatest feeling in the world. Mm-hmm. I killed a doe at 20 yards. I went with a group of guys, and we were actually hunting in a woodlot in a cemetery. And this doe walked by at 20 yards, and I made a really good shot on her, and she didn't go another 15 or 20 yards and went down. And you would have thought I killed a, you know,
a Boone and Crockett.
Yeah, 180 class deer. I mean, I was hooting and hollering, and everybody around me was too. It was awesome, and it was just like such an accomplishment that yes, I can still do this. I mean, I do it differently. I do it with equipment. I've got like a 20 yard kill zone that I can move left and right with my brace, and basically the deer has to have a death wish and walk into my scope. But you know, if you do your homework and you try hard, eventually one of them's going to do that, and that's when you have to be ready and take the shot. But it was the best feeling in the world. It really was.
That's awesome, man. Yeah, that had to have been like the craziest feeling. Like, I'm back, here it is. Yeah. And then it's just, I imagine the emotion would just be so intense.
I distinctly remember saying, I can do this. I can still do this, and it's gonna be okay. You know, and it's funny the things that run through your mind. And I can't tell you what I had for lunch today, but I can tell you, you know, it was 22 yards, and you know, I made a shot with my Horton crossbow, and I mean, it sticks with you, the hunts that you remember.
Yeah, that is cool. Yeah, and all that's true is, you know, I remember almost every detail of every successful hunt. I remember the dates. I can tell you what the weather was like. And a lot of them, I can tell you my mindset going in. I can even remember like climbing up the tree that day, like just weird stuff that didn't necessarily matter to it. But it's weird that when you're passionate about the outdoors, how your brain locks onto certain things.
Yeah.
Hey, Kurt, what were you wearing when your daughter was born?
I could not tell you.
Honestly, what time of day was it when you shot your buck last, your last buck?
My last
big
buck,
bastard.
It was an hour before dark.
You're such
it's like 4:30 p.m. But I mean, it's like, why would I remember what I'm wearing though? There's more important things happening.
I'm just giving you a hard time, bro.
Yeah, but I mean, no, it's true though.
Yeah, it is. It's those things that you're passionate about. That's why, you know, after a 10-year hiatus, it's something that you're constantly building towards. dude, that payoff was probably great. I bet that was the most delicious meal the first time. What was the first meal that you ate off that dough?
Backstraps.
Oh, of course.
I bet those were delicious.
And that particular day got even better, though. The group I was hunting with, it was Whitetail Management out of Pittsburgh, and we got the dough, and I was so excited. I was like, this is great. And they said, you're not done yet. You can get a buck here. And it was, they're all free ranging, but it was in a city cemetery that they were doing population control.
Oh, cool.
And so they said, you know, we're going to stick around and maybe you can get a shot at a buck. So it was almost evening and I shot an 8-point, and I was a lot more nervous with the 8-point.
Of course.
Didn't make quite the perfect shot on it, but it ran maybe 50, 75 yards, and they tracked it and got it for me. And
very cool.
I got that deer mounted and it's in my bedroom. And I think about, you know, that hunt all the time. And, it's just awesome. I mean, the people you meet, where you go, people can't do enough for you. I mean, I'm very, very blessed and very, very thankful with people, you know?
That's very cool. What's your, like, shoot setup? Like, what are you shooting? How does it work? I know we're going to get a lot of those questions if we don't cover it. I mean, can you kind of just break down that whole process? Like, what's the aiming process like? And just break it down for us.
Sure. Well, I started off with, like, a commercial mount. And Buckmaster's Disabled Deer Foundation sent me the mount.
I didn't even know that was a thing.
Yeah, that's yep. I had no idea either.
Yep, so this was years ago, you know, like in 2009 or 2010. But they had sent me a real simple mount, and it worked good. And I had the Horton crossbow. Well, after I had a little bit of success, you know, I started tweaking stuff. I'm like, well, you know, maybe we could do something a little bit better. So after like three different mounts, I'm using a mount that I designed and my buddy Jesse welded for me. He's a journeyman, so he welds great. And what it does is I have a seat plate, and then the mount sits between my knees into that tubing, and I can move left and right, like I said, about you know, 20, 25 yards, depending on how far they're out there. And I try to set up with the right elevation, but if I'm off on my elevation, I can use my power wheelchair to tilt back. I've got rehab seating on my everyday chair and my hunting chair. I'll tell you about that too. But the setup I have, I made the mount just because all the commercial mounts, and there's some great ones out there, Be Adaptive make some really good mounts, but everybody's ability is just a little bit different. I wanted a custom mount that sat, you know, close to me, that I could get good scope relief on a rifle, or I even have scopes on my shotguns for turkey hunting and stuff, because I have trouble aiming, getting my head down on it. But so I made this mount specifically for me, and I bought a Sip and Puff trigger mechanism off Be Adaptive. And what that is it's just a straw that you suck on it, and it pulls the trigger for you.
Wow. No way.
Yeah. Man. So it's pretty high tech, and the electric trigger plugs into my TrackFab all-terrain track chair. I started off at Shepherd using a BMF trigger activator. A lady in Texas, her dad designed it, and he used to give it to Shepherd Center, you know, for new patients. And in the last 10 years, I've contacted Grace, and we've become really good friends. And I said, I owe my hunting to your dad, because without him making that BMF trigger activator, I'd have never thought I'd been able to hunt again, you know. And things wow. kind of go full circle. And a lot of people complain about the internet or, you know, Facebook and stuff. But, man, I've met some great people and touched base with a lot of people around the country and around the world, and figured out a lot of things, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, the internet has like a bad rap. The internet sucks from the outer side, but when you dive in and the connections you make, like this, I imagine off this podcast, we're all going to keep in touch and be friends from here on out. Like, just like little things like this are amazing, especially in the hunting community. It's easy on the outside to pick it apart to make it seem like a bad thing,
yeah.
And we're all guilty of that. I definitely am, especially on the podcast. And some things need addressed. But deep down in the core, it's a beautiful thing.
You know, I think that's awesome. You got that cat that's making these mechanisms in Texas, sending them to Atlanta, and it's changing guys' lives such as yourself. Just because another guy's like, hey, this helped me, maybe it can help someone, and it changed your life. You know, that's awesome, man. Dude, that's the good part that we don't talk about, because bad news makes money. Good news does not make money.
That's exactly right.
Those are facts.
Hate to say it, dude. Good news does not make money. If good news made money, you would not hear about any bad shit on the news.
Just science.
So, Greg, what's your current like crossbow setup?
I'm shooting the 10-point Stealth NXT. I just got it last year, and I've been shooting 10-point the last few years, and I really like the Stealth. It's so small. When I'm in a ground blind, I've got my chair that's 30 inches wide and has, you know, tracks on the side of it, and then somebody's always hunting with me. So if I have a smaller profile crossbow, it's a lot easier in a ground blind, especially when you're trying to move left and right and that kind of deal. So I really like 10-point. They've treated me good. I live in Pittsburgh, PA, and their factory's over in Ohio, so it's not that far to go over if something needs addressed or something like that. They've always given good, you know, customer service, that kind of deal. Mm-hmm. But I know a lot of guys shoot different crossbows, and I think they're all good. I mean, they've come a long way. It just depends on what you want to shoot and how deep your pockets are. And, you know, a dead deer is still a dead deer, whether you shot a $200 crossbow or a $1,200 crossbow.
Right. No, that's cool, man. That's awesome. That's crazy. Like, just some of the setups out there, I had to, you know, of course, I didn't know about them, but it's interesting to hear all that. I feel like it's important for everyone to kind of know about that stuff.
And the good thing about crossbows now, too, is they have the crank. So, like, you don't have to pull them back. Somebody can crank it really easy, even if they're not strong. You know, I can't crank it myself, but somebody else always cranks it for me, and it works out pretty good.
That's cool. Yeah, too bad Steve's not closer, because he's just a ground blind hunter.
Yeah.
So he could just kind of, you guys could hang out and podcast in the blind.
Dude, wouldn't that be a good idea? I'd be into that.
Hey, are you a drinker? Hey,
what,
Greg?
We could do, Greg, we'll just we could fire Steve, hire you to be on the podcast, and Steve can just be your crank guy. He can just run the crank. That's it. That's all he's for. And then say dumb shit to you in the blind.
That would be a pretty cool title to have, crank guy, huh?
Dude, I want to go hunting camp with Greg, because Greg's probably my, like, dude, he's my bird dog. You'd be my wingman. And I think...
No, you'd be his wingman. Yeah.
Yeah, come on, man. Sure. I was trying to sell myself. But yeah, I know. I'm like, I'll be like, ladies, this is my buddy. And he's like, hey, ladies, this is my crank guy. He cranks up my my crossbow, and I go kill the does and bucks.
Dude, I have no trouble sending a bolt downrange. Those bucks, I got a good ethical shot. I don't get picky.
I love it, man. That's super cool. So what? How did this all lead into what I'm just going to call your brand, Accessible Hunter? Kind of just bring. Where did that like start?
Yeah. After I had that hunt with Whitetail Management, and I was kind of figuring things out, you know, like how to get in there, how to try to stay scent free in a wheelchair, if at all possible, you know, hunting with the wind, the whole archery, you know, Bible. I thought, well, there's not a lot of information out on the internet, because I was searching myself, and I thought, well, if it's not out there, maybe I should put it out there. So in 2010, I started the Accessible Hunter blog, and I ran that. You know, and I still run it, but I'm not active on it since I switched to Facebook. It's just easier to post to Facebook and answer questions. And it seems like I get a lot more questions and answers. And other people can post to my Facebook Accessible Hunter page of their success and what they're doing and how they're doing things different than I'm doing it. And it's just kind of like a whole sharing of knowledge. But it all started with my blog in 2010.
That's very cool, man. That's awesome. I know... I noticed you, of course, when you like message us and you started reaching out. So you started that in 2010. When did you start listening to us? I'm kind of bringing it into the connection how we're on the show, or you're on the show right now.
I've only listened to you guys for the last year. So I wish I would have known about podcasts before that, but I think I want to say I Googled hunting podcast. And you guys come up, and I was like hooked. I was like, these are the guys I could drink with, I could hunt with. You know, you're kind of like me. I mean, I got tattoos, I drink, I raise hell, and I like to have a good time. I mean, I want to be successful, I want to kill deer, but that's not the end of the world, you know.
Yeah.
I enjoy being out there, and I love October in Pennsylvania. That's just awesome. So only about a year.
Cool, man. How many episodes do you think you listen to? Hopefully not the first, like, 50.
Yeah, good God.
No, I'd say, like, the last 20, maybe 25.
Oh, thank God.
We're safe.
Oh, thank God.
I thought, like I said, you guys do a hell of a job.
We do a hell of a job. Maybe now.
Don't go
maybe.
Too deep.
Yeah, nah.
If you think we do a hell of a job now, shit, don't go back and listen to any episodes, especially, like, 194. Is that the first one I got fired on? I can't remember.
I don't know.
I've been fired on a couple of these.
I'm definitely going to listen to 194 now.
Oh, God. I don't think it's that one.
Steve just threw out a random number. He doesn't actually know. It's kind of cool that all came to be, though. Like, with Facebook, it's just allowed people to get, like, different reaches. What is your Facebook? Can you plug that? I know Accessible Hunter, but do you know, is it just Facebook/Accessible Hunter?
Yes. Yes, that's what it is.
And Instagram?
And Instagram, it's Accessible Hunter, all one word.
Very cool, man. Very cool. I feel like we're missing something to this story somewhere. Or Steve.
Yeah.
You know what? I'm running a blank right now. I need to drink another beer.
Yeah. you do that. So Accessible Hunter, you put it out there on your website that you want people to reach out to you. And if they're in a similar situation or, you know, they've got a situation where they're essentially, you know, disabled, I want to know a success story. I want you to share, like, a feel-good story of somebody who might have reached out to you. You helped them throughout the process, and they've harvested a critter, and they had that same feeling that you had. Do you have any of those stories that you can share?
Let's see.
He's just like, nope.
He's like, hell no.
That just kind of caught me off guard on that a little bit. But when I go to, like, a hunt or, like, Last year, I hooked up with Dan Christina from Wheels from the Woods, and you know, he and I are kind of close geographically, and he was posting some pictures about shooting and you know, getting accurate with his AR and his setup. So he and I touched base, and I kind of hooked him up with kind of my ideas on the Sip and Puff trigger, and you know, being more stable. Like, on the front of my mount, I didn't mention this, but I have a hog saddle mount. Do you guys ever heard of those?
I have not.
I don't think so.
A lot of rifle shooters will use them, snipers and things. It's kind of like a big clamp that you can hold your rifle, your shotgun, or your crossbow in. Mm-hmm. And when things are locked down tight, you're going to be more accurate naturally. So I kind of helped Dan out with his setup, and he was successful this year. I get a lot of questions from guys that are running gun clubs, like how to set up accessible shoots and kind of like ideas about accessibility. And
that's cool, guides, man, that you can get involved in that type of thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right. And guides that have hunting camps that want to make things a little bit more accessible, or they already got ramps on their lodges, and they're like, well, we want to take the next step. So what do we do? You know, how do we get guys out hunting? Or we have an aging problem, you know, with our hunting population, that guys can't get out as much as they used to when they were younger. And if we can get them, you know, an accessible wheelchair like I use, like the Track Fab or an Action Track chair, you know, how to get people out. I get a lot of questions like that answered. I just try to be a resource for people whenever they send a message or contact me.
That's very cool, gotcha. Man. That is cool. You know, and then at the end, if you want, you're more than welcome to. I don't know if you want to put your phone number out on this, but you know, if you want to do that for people that have questions or need help with something like that, you're more than welcome to.
Okay.
But I don't want to do that. But
he's like, he's gonna hang up before that.
That's just through Facebook. How about that?
They can go through Facebook or Instagram. Either one is good. That way, I'm not getting 3 a.m. Calls.
Steve's just like, hey, Greg, it's me, man. What are you doing?
Steve. Hey, what's up, bro? Did you watch Raw last night?
That would be all right, though, but I've only got one cell phone, so I better guard that number.
You know, we do hear a lot, and you just, from talking to your buddies a lot of times, you hear the guys where they're like, hey, man, my grandfather got me into hunting, but, you know, he's not really accessible anymore. I think I think it's very good what you're doing, you know, not only for people who physically just can't get out, you know, whether it be due to an accident or just, you know,
age or anything
like that, just being able to help them get out there. And man, I don't want to get emotional, but I'm like so happy that you're out there. You got a positive attitude and you're just helping the older generation, which is our generation should be doing. Dude, we should always be focused on helping our elders.
Well, exactly. I think a lot of the problem with like this certain like category in the industry is nobody knows anything about it unless you're in the situation.
That's true. I had absolutely no idea about the struggles, some of the companies
and brands and different things that you've mentioned, Greg, is like I never even heard about them. I didn't even know they existed, but I'm glad they do. Like someone has obviously gone over this, and it's guys like you that have, like, you made your own custom mount. I'm sure you could get with a company and be like, hey, everyone's situation's a little different. Like, I didn't realize that. Like, I didn't real, you know what I mean? That you have different movement. It makes sense, but it's something I never thought about. Because it's a unique situation to me.
I just figured out Eric's new dream job. He's going to be welding stuff up like this.
That's actually a pretty cool job.
Like, yeah.
But like Greg, I imagine, and hopefully through this podcast, there's some people that reach out to you for help with maybe some design work or whatever it may be. But it's cool that someone like you is willing to give back to help. And it doesn't only make sense. That's what we all should try to give back somewhere. And I'm guilty of not doing that probably as much as I should. But
same.
You know what I mean? It's cool that you can help and kind of give advice, and you have a passion for it even still after everything that's happened.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And, you know, having the right equipment makes a big difference between success and failure. And if you're out there not shooting well and you're falling around and your brace isn't working, or, you know, your trigger activator is not going off whenever you need it to, I mean, that's frustrating as hell. And, think about everything that has to happen to be successful in a bow hunt, and then multiply that by 10, adding in a wheelchair, sip and puff trigger that you're, you know, connecting to a 12 volt battery and hoping, you know, the battery's charged and you get out there and, you know, it's a lot of issues that if you think about it beforehand, you can problem solve. And the time, you know, to do it is before you're going, not whenever you're in the ground blind.
Yeah. So I have a question. So when you're using that, I mean, what kind of calibration or like how do you do your target practice to like get everything set up just for you?
Yep. I shoot from 50 on in. So I belong to a local archery club, Falcon Archers, and I go out and shoot my bow from 50 in. A lot of guys will tell you, hey, they don't shoot 50-yard shots, but if I got a, you know, really good broadside shot and it's an ethical shot, I feel comfortable because I'm shooting within my abilities. Yep. Now, maybe somebody that doesn't shoot their bow a lot, 50 yards is too much. So you have to go on what you feel comfortable with. But I shoot a lot from 50 in, and my typical shots are, you know, 25, 30 yards. That's the sweet spot that I like to have here. But being on the ground, you know, you always have to have the wind in your face. If the wind swirls or something, they're not going to stick around. And it's difficult, but that's what makes it so much better. Yeah. You know?
But for your like trigger mechanism, like, is there any like calibrations or is that kind of a standard like setup thing from the factory?
Well, it's just a straw. So it's just like drinking a beer. So
wait, hold on. You drink beer out of a straw? What the hell's the matter with you?
I drink everything out of a straw. I can't hold a glass.
Yeah, Steve, you dick.
You're fired.
Hey, let's take this moment to shit on Steve, everybody.
Oh, damn.
Greg, will you please call Steve an asshole for us?
All right, please do.
Well, you know, you got to pay attention when I say my hands don't work. I mean, you know.
Yeah, he said
they said you have movement in your hands.
Steve, we went over this.
Damn.
Greg, call him an asshole.
Greg, you are allowed to? Wait, why am I saying it like that? Greg, please call me an asshole twice. Number one, for that comment and for the previous comment.
Dude, it was just kind of an asshole comment. You're not an asshole.
No. You know, come on. You let me know I'm an asshole.
He thought about it, and then he said it. So.
Yeah, I did.
When we know better, we do better. So next time we have a
God, dude, you sound like Gene Miller.
When we have a beer together, you'll bring straws. I know
you. Dude, I'm bringing one of those like ridiculous Mickey Mouse straws that has like the 9 loops.
Hey, I'm not proud. I'll use it.
Oh man,
Dude, Kurt, you got a straw. I'm gonna continue drinking beer out of a straw.
Dude, I'm about to hit you
episode.
In your mouth, so you got no choice, son.
Hey, wait. You're using the reusable straws, right? Think of the turtles.
Well, I try to do my best, but I'm not always on the ecology side there.
Steve has a pet turtle, so fuck turtles.
Come on, dude. Kurt just drinks six packs just so he can throw those things in the ocean.
No, oh my God. I don't. I have a soul, man. I have a heart. But if it's just to make you feel stressed out, I'll tell people I do it, but I don't actually do that. I care for our wildlife.
Think of the turtles, man.
Greg, I apologize on Steve's behalf, but I love that you like – very politely shit on him, and that's
dude, that was the politest. Are you sure you're not Canadian?
Well, I'm just trying to get invited back, you know.
Oh, it doesn't. Steve doesn't make those decisions.
Yeah, dude. The more I think, the more you shit on me, the more they're gonna want to have you around. To be honest.
Sorry, Steve. Then you're an ass.
There it is.
All right,
you're on your way back already, man. We haven't even ended this episode, and you're coming back. What's some of your goals for the future, man? Like, what's a goal for the season? What's a goal for Accessible Hunter? And maybe just in life.
Yeah. I didn't get a spring turkey. I only went out a couple of times, and I kind of got skunked. So I'd really like to get a bird in the fall with my crossbow. That's my first goal is fall turkey in Pennsylvania. And ultimately, I'd love to get drawn on a tag for a Pennsylvania elk. I don't know if you guys are familiar with the lottery system in PA or not for
no,
elk.
No, we're not. Mm-mm.
Well, you pay like $10 to get in the lottery, and you can get preference points, you know, for every year. But they get probably 100,000 applications, and they pick 100 tags. But I'd love lifetime goals to get an elk. I'd settle for a nice buck this year though with my bow. I had a pretty good season last year. I hunted Pennsylvania, North Carolina, and Maryland. And,
oh, awesome!
Yeah.
I was going to ask all the hunts you've been on lately.
Yeah, well, when I was first started hunting again, one of my first out of state hunts was out in Monmouth, Illinois.
That's like Monmouth? Are you serious?
That's like 30 minutes from us.
Yeah, I hunted out there with Ryan Dewey and LED Outdoors, I believe it was. Or yeah, the outfitter's name was Ryan Dewey. Leased some land out there, and I had a great time in Illinois. I mean, that's the land of the big buck. That's kind of like,
well, Iowa is, but
yeah. Come on now.
Go to hell, Doug.
Yeah. Yeah, hey, call Doug an asshole. Come on now.
That's literally, Greg, Monmouth is probably 30 minutes from our studio.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I stayed at the hotel there, and they had this great sports bar right across the parking lot.
Yep.
And
I know exactly where you're talking about.
Where the Taco Bell is?
Yep.
I know exactly where that is. Because of the Farm Kings right there.
Yeah.
Yep.
All right.
Yeah. So, Greg, you're right smack dab. You're close. You know, are you familiar with Austin Chandler and Ross Bigger? He doesn't listen enough. You're not far. Yeah, you're right in the big buck hub for Illinois.
We had a good time out there, but it was in November, and it was like this hellacious snowstorm, and there's no landmarks out there for the road, so I had to use GPS to, like, you know, go down the road and turn left, you know, it's going to be 10 feet or whatever. I couldn't see anything. And it was like 15 degrees, but we had a great time. I didn't get anything the first year. The second year, I shot a really nice monster, but I shot him square in the freaking shoulder. Oh. And it ended up not getting him. And I'm not blaming a broadhead like most guys do. It was a piss shot, but I was excited, and it all happened kind of quick. And I took the shot, but you guys have some great, great hunting out that way.
Yeah, well, Illinois is the best.
You better be here next season, so so we can drink that beer out of a straw together. And
there you go.
Right. I thought he was going to say something.
You paused awkwardly, and
I paused awkwardly. I was going to say, dude, I will hold the beer bong for you, and we can funnel a beer bong for you.
Oh, dude, that would be awesome. That's what we need to do. Dude,
I will, dude. We got to hit the full bongo when we're at the. You better be there at the Illinois Deer and Beer Classic.
You can't hold the guy to fly from Pennsylvania to Illinois for a tracer.
I'm not going
to
hold him to it, but it'd be nice to see you.
Was that a drunk text at 2 a.m. right there? No. It'd be nice to see you.
Go ahead, Greg.
Really nice to see you.
I will see what I can do. I can't make any promises, but I like to travel, and I like meeting new people and going hunting, and you know, everybody you learn a little bit different from, and you guys do things different. That was the first time I used a decoy was out there. Mm. So you know, you always pick up different tips more people you hunt with.
Yeah, definitely. That's the fun thing about it, just kind of sharing different strategies and ideas. And you know, everyone, the cool thing about the hunting industry, or just like the hunting in general, like, you know, cut the industry out of it, is I might have a certain thing that I really like and it works for me, and then Steve doesn't do anything anyway, but like Cameron might have a plan that really works for him, and they're different plans, but we both find success in however we do it. So,
right.
But it's fun to break all that stuff down, and the disagreement part is what makes podcasting in the hunting realm fun, and just conversations in hunting camp fun. Because if everyone's just like, oh yeah, I hunt the same way all the time, it wouldn't be any fun to talk about hunting.
No.
That's exactly right, and I definitely hunt different than most people. You know, I sit for a living, so I can go out and hunt all day because I don't have to go to the bathroom. I don't have to move around. I sit. The only thing I have to do is do weight shifts, which I just tilt my chair back like an easy chair, like a recliner, every half hour just to get pressure off my butt, and I can hunt all day. I mean, so I've kind of got the advantage. A lot of people get tired and fidgety and want to get up and walk around and stuff, but that doesn't present a problem for me.
You're the ultimate stealth dude, yeah. mode. Yeah.
I'm the ultimate sitter.
He picked up the superpower we never knew we wanted.
You could, man, yeah, you could. Damn. You could have a buck right up next to you, and you're just like, I don't got to worry about getting nervous here and wanting yeah. to like jitter a little bit. It's kind of cool. It's cool, man, how you've taken your situation, adapted, and you're positive with it, and you're putting bolts through critters.
Yeah, that's awesome.
That is really cool, man. I can only imagine like what that felt like, and it's pretty awesome, man.
It's a good time being out again. It really is, and I'm sorry I waited so long to get back at it. I was kind of hesitant, and you know, you're
for good reason, man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I was just trying to survive and get through and yeah. kind of come to terms with my new body. And I'm glad I'm a hunter, though. I'm proud to be able to say that I get out in the outdoors, and if I can help other people, you know, realize that no matter what your situation, there's always a way. You just have to do it differently. So, you know, if you need a motorized mount, they have those, you know, that you use your chin and it's like a joystick and you can, you know, move it around. If you got a vision impairment, you know, we can put a phone scope on your scope and have your buddy behind you, you know, telling you, okay, a little bit to the left, a little bit to the right. That's perfect. Shoot now. So if you're a hunter with a visual impairment, you know, any type of disability, there's a workaround if you want to get out there.
Damn.
Yeah.
You know, that's Kurt, cool, man. I just found your dream job. So you got to design some wheelchairs that have like a PTO on the back so these guys can get out there and plant their own food plots and stuff.
Oh, I've got the ultimate wheelchair. I mean, this thing, I call it my tank. And
break that down. That's important. We got to break that down. I don't know how we didn't cover that sooner.
I'm curious to hear this thing.
Well, I started off with an Action Track chair. They were one of the first manufacturers of treaded wheelchairs, at least to my knowledge. But it was like 48 inches wide. And I couldn't fit it through a single door. When I traveled out to Illinois, I had to pull a trailer behind my minivan and run a 100-foot extension cord out to the parking lot to charge the chair up at night.
Oh, man.
You know, you got to be dedicated to want to do that kind of shit.
Damn.
And I had it for like 3 or 4 years, but I realized because I had to trailer it and like the limitations, I wasn't using it as much as I could. So I started looking for another manufacturer, and there's one in Slippery Rock, PA, Track Fab, and they're only an hour from my house. And they make a 30-inch wide chair that'll fit through a regular doorway. So I can take it into hotel rooms with me and charge it up right beside the bed in the hotel room for the hunt the next day. I bought a new van this year, a ProMaster 2500, and I can get both my everyday wheelchair and my track chair in it at the same time, so I don't have to worry about a trailer anymore. Yeah. And nice. I find that since it's a smaller chair, it has the rehab seating, so I can lay all the way back. I can go back, get pressure off my butt. And I'm using it a whole lot more now because it's convenient, you know. And there's a bunch of different track chairs out there. It's whatever you like. It's like picking a favorite bow or, you know, rifle, whatever you want, whatever works for you. But I like the Track Fab chair. I use it a lot, and it goes anywhere I need it to go. I had it in a swamp in Maryland last year. I shot that 5-point and drug it out through the swamp. I shot 2 deer in North Carolina, drug them both out at the same time. The guides were loving
it. No way.
Damn, yeah, we, dude. You know, they were like, we never have to worry about you coming down. You drag your own deer out. Yeah, just strap them on the back, you know. And it's fun to break the ice with people. And sometimes people don't want to embarrass you or ask a question that, you know, they think is offensive or something like that. But, you know, I'm pretty open to stuff. And if people have a question, I'd rather they ask.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
And be able to help somebody, you know.
Well, I mean, that is kind of an awkward situation for a lot of people, me included. But Steve definitely proved that he can cross that boundary and you're still willing to stay on the spot.
Sorry, man. I'm an asshole.
Huh? Steve definitely wants to go hunting with you now so he can drag his deer out.
I would absolutely love to go hunting with you, dude. That would be a blast.
The only weird thing, Greg, about I think if Steve went hunting with you, he'd be like, hey, dude, can I sit on your lap while we move in here?
Hey, can I hitch a ride, dude?
The good news is I wouldn't feel it, so if he's comfortable, I'm comfortable. Good
Lord. Right. Guys, I'm leaving on my own.
Oh, that's great.
It's like, dude, they're going to hear foot track. They're going to hear my feet, but they're not going to hear your tracks, man. So I'm just going to sit in your lap, and we're just going to coast in here.
Slow and steady.
Yeah.
That thing got headlights on it?
It does.
Does it really?
Damn. They're these halogen lights like on a Jeep. They light up the forest going in and out. You never have to worry about a headlamp or a flashlight when you're hunting. It's like driving a Jeep down.
That's awesome.
It's cool.
No way. That's incredible, actually. That's really cool, man. How fast does it go?
It's not very fast, but it has a lot of torque. So the top speed's probably only like 4 miles an hour. But in the woods, that's really fast because you're going over bumps. And
yeah.
I don't have any trunk control, so I have to have like a 5-point harness on whenever I'm, you know, going in the woods and stuff that keeps me in the chair. And if you're rolling over logs and rocks and shit like that, you don't want to be going fast. Plus, I try to keep the noise down as much as I can. I found out that hunting in the morning, that's not my strong suit. I have to get up at like 3 o'clock in the morning to get ready for a morning hunt.
Yeah.
And if I can go out in the afternoon, I can sneak in. I don't disturb as much stuff. I was always finding that I was running stuff off through a field, you know, because the chair does make noise. It's too tank treads, you know. Mm-hmm. So hunting in the afternoon seems to be better for me. I don't know what works better for other guys, but yeah. I'm an afternoon hunter, and that way I can get up and have breakfast and lunch and then head out.
Yeah, that's cool, man. Get out of your comfort zone and get there in time and be set up ready to throw a bolt down range.
Yeah,
exactly. Let everything settle down, you know, and calm back down. So I've been pretty successful with the afternoon hunts.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Nice.
Dude. That is cool.
It's a refreshing to hear that, you know, you're getting out there. I have a buddy of mine who, he had a sledding accident, I think when we were probably 18, 19. And so he was paralyzed. And, you know, just kind of the things that we've gone through, you know, just trying to go get lunch or whatever. It's just different. It's not a struggle, but it's always like you see the will in these guys to like, hey, I just want to keep living a normal life. I want to get back to where I'm at, which is awesome that you did, where you're like, hey, I had this life. I had this thing happen, but I'm getting back to it and I'm finding happiness. Dude, that just, it tugs at my heartstrings to see that. I'm just really happy that you're out there and you want to continue to help, you know, other hunters who might be in a bad situation. You're like, dude, look, it's totally doable. You can do it. Doesn't matter what the situation is, get your ass out there and do it. And I appreciate the hell out of it. I just want to say thank you for that from the bottom of my heart. I got a little emotional on this episode, and I am not going to apologize, but I'm just really happy you're out here doing this, man.
I appreciate that, buddy. I really do. And, you know, anyone can do it. It just takes some planning. And like any plan, you're going to have to revise it. The first time you go out to shoot your bow, something's not going to be right. You better take a toolbox with you because something needs tightened, you know, Velcro, straps, ratchet straps, and zip ties are a part of my life, you know. And you just have to problem solve and do the best you can do. And don't get frustrated. That's the main thing. It's going to take time to do stuff and figure out what works best for that individual.
Yeah, man, for sure. Well, thank you so much, man, for the support. Thank you so much for doing this podcast and sharing all this information and your story. And, dude, I'm looking forward to hearing some stories from this season. We'll have to touch base and get you on another podcast once we get into deer season a bit.
Absolutely. I had so much fun talking to you guys, and it was definitely like hunting camp. You made my night. So thank you for all that you do and getting people out and shooting their bows. And I appreciate it. I love listening to you guys. So thank you.
Awesome, man. We appreciate it. And don't hang up on the phone yet. We're going to do a circle of let's do this. Let's close out on positivity. Greg, you can either go first or last. I'll let you choose.
I'll go last.
Wise choice. We are going to start with Doug.
I knew it. I knew it was going to happen.
The stash.
Positive note, getting my ritual set up this weekend.
Oh, you haven't done that yet.
I'm going to be hitting zingers for the shoot. Watch out. Coming for you.
Doug is a strong shot. He's a force to be reckoned with.
He'll step up or step down.
Move around.
Catch the smoke.
Move,
what's up?
Come on. Dude, you cannot. You cannot.
It's the first time I've ever said that.
Got a big buck on trail camera also on the big time.
Yeah, buddy.
Nice. Damn. Those are positive.
Real big one.
Cameron?
Going to have a another baby here in the next month. The shoots.
Yeah, thing. Like 3 weeks.
Yeah, I know. Oh, the doctor keeps moving up the freaking due date. I'm getting nervous.
Yeah,
so don't expect to see Tank at the shoot.
What's your plans look like on Sunday?
Yeah, because he might be busy.
But, yeah, no, I should be at the shoot. The way the doctor's talking, I should be there. I'll probably be sleeping, but, you know, I mean, I'll be there.
Yeah,
just shooting arrows in the dirt.
Yeah, I know. I'm like, I got a new baby. Leave me alone.
Tank, I really hope you lose an arrow.
Oh, I will.
That's one thing I remember.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Doris is going to
take
an
arrow. No, you're going to kiss
Doris is going to eat some arrows. That's
what I'm saying. There's a kissing booth for Steve if you miss.
If you miss an arrow. Do you not remember that?
He
forgot something.
Okay. Steve.
Just want to thank Greg for coming on here, putting up with my bullshit. Apologize about that again. But you're super positive, and I'm just super happy that a gentleman such as yourself is able to do what you do. So check out Accessible Hunter. I'm super, super happy.
I'm good. I'm going to go real quick. I'm pumped that I'm going to hit Steve in the mouth after this podcast. And
we're gonna let Greg listen to it. We're going to FaceTime him.
Sounds like a hammer hitting meat.
A hammer hitting meat. Tenderizing. We're tenderizing Steve right now. Get
tenderizing
some salt.
That jaw.
Nah, that is positive. Carbon TV is out. The shoot's in a month. Lots to look forward to. Lots to look forward to. Mm-hmm. Greg, here we are, man. Something positive. Close us out.
There we go.
Positive. Well, I got two more days of beach vacation. I'm going to drink an Orange Crush, and then I'm going to go home and shoot my crossbow and get ready for fall turkey season.
Very cool, man.
Awesome. Yeah.
Wish you all the luck, Greg.
Thanks, brother.
All right, everyone. Thank you so much for listening. You know what to do. Go shoot your bow. We love you.
Join me, Chef Jean-Paul Bourgeois, and the whole crew here at Duck Camp Dinners every Monday at 8 p.m. Eastern on Waypoint TV. Birds up in the sky.